Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
A brilliant light pierced the darkness on that first Christmas night. It wasn't the immense star so bright that intrigued experts of the night sky to follow it. It wasn't even the multitude of angelic messengers with a light so intense, so radiant, it frightened brave shepherds to fall to their knees. No, this light was far greater, more powerful than every star and every sun. This light was a baby. A tiny newborn wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger where animals feed. A baby named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Because Jesus was a gift for each one of us, and he arrived with a purpose, to shine light into all dark places. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. A light that shows us there is no place you can go that can escape God's love. No dark corner where his love cannot find you. A light that has the power to cut through any darkness, to calm the most anxious thoughts, and to fill every heart with unspeakable joy. There is a light that shines brightly in the darkness. And his name is Jesus, light of the world.
His name is Jesus, light of the world. This is the message that the famous painter Rembrandt was trying to tell when he crafted his now famous image called Adoration of the Shepherds. This was painted in 1646, and it beautifully depicts the nativity set in a semi-crowded barn cloaked in a shroud of darkness. And that's really one of the things that stands out about this painting is it is dark. It's dark. A few of the characters are holding lanterns, but as you begin to study this image, you begin to see that it's not the lanterns that are illuminating the image. In fact, the only light that we can see the faces of those gathered around the manger is coming from the manger itself. Jesus is the light of the world. Hundreds of years before Rembrandt, and even hundreds of years before Christmas, the prophet Isaiah painted a very similar picture, only he used words and not oil and canvas. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Jesus, the light of the world. We don't often give a lot of thought to the significance or the impact of light because it is practically everywhere in our lives. Practically every cell phone you can pull out and have a flashlight. I still carry a flashlight with me everywhere I go. It's kind of this leftover thing from construction I still have. I almost hate to admit this, but I'm so accustomed to light in our home that when the power goes out, I still walk into every room and hit the switch. Not just once, you click it a couple times, right? You're going, oh, power's out. We are just that, and some of you are really wondering about your choice of Christmas Eve services tonight. But like light is just automatic for us, right? At Christmas time, it adorns our homes. It adorns our trees and even our holiday movies. It's hard to get through the Christmas season without seeing this image of Clark Griswold taking down the neighborhood power grid at Christmas. But as we look into the scriptures, as we look to the Bible, light and darkness take on qualities not related to lumens or candle power. They take on a symbolic meaning, pointing beyond the lights and the trees to reveal matters of the heart and the world around us. Within the Bible, we see, if we look at darkness, we often see that representing or talking about the absence of physical light, like you would expect. But we also see it take on a symbolic nature in darkness representing judgment. It can speak for a lack of discernment. Darkness can also describe a state of being for those who don't know God. Scriptures tell us that if away from the Lord, away from relationship with Him, people live in darkness separated from Him. And finally, we often see darkness refer to death or the realm of evil or evil works. And so as we take that idea of darkness and we pull that meaning into our teaching text from Isaiah, when the prophet says that the people were living in great darkness and have seen a light, the people were living in a desperate place, even hopeless. But light has dawned in the prophet's words. They have seen a great light. And friends, that's the good news of Christmas. Because light really describes everything opposite of the darkness. It speaks of life and hope. It's symbolic of righteousness and holiness and purity. It's a welcome breath of life stepping out from under the weight of darkness. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 119 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." As we step into the New Testament, the Gospel of John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We see the truth that light always overcomes darkness. 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." So what we see is that light is not just something God does, it's who He is. God is light. And as we look to the life of Jesus, we see Him bring forth this very truth. John 8, verse 12 says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, 'I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' I am the light of the world." This is what the prophet Isaiah was telling us about. This is what Rembrandt was trying to capture in his painting, Jesus, the light of the world. And I love in John chapter 8 when Jesus declares that about Himself, when He says, "I am the light of the world," He doesn't just say, "I'm the light, and hey, you're not. Good luck with your darkness." He doesn't do that. He gives an invitation. Did you catch it? Let's look at it again. He says, "When Jesus spoke again, He said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. You see, the invitation to follow Jesus is the invitation to step out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of relationship with Christ. That's what He's made possible. Baby born at Christmas, crucified on the cross at Calvary. The light of the world. Can I ask you something this evening? Have you taken that step out of the darkness? Have you stepped into the light of relationship with Jesus? As you would think about your life, would you want to describe it with light, with hope, with joy, with peace? Or if you were honest, is it a little darker than that? Friends, the good news of Christmas is that Jesus has come. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he offers us hope and light. The invitation is to place your faith in him. Ask him to come, to be Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to give you strength to live into the light that he brings. You too can experience the light of the world. You see, to follow Jesus is not just to peer over the manger and consider the light. It's to invite him to be the light of your life, to be Lord of your life, to follow after him, to walk in his ways, to know his light illuminating and purifying your heart. Scriptures tell us in 1 John 1:6-9, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Bible calls us out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin, and into the marvelous purifying light of Christ. To take that step, we have to be honest and admit that darkness is not just around us, but it's within us. And we need his light to come in us and dispel that darkness. You see, to confess sin is to agree with the Lord in that we need him. And as we confessed our sins to him and look to the Lord in faith, the light of the world comes within. That's the beautiful invitation of Christmas. That's the light of the world. Won't you come in? Won't you come in? As I've thought about this idea of the light of the world, Jesus welcoming people out of the darkness, it reminds me of a story from my childhood. My parents were often leaving early for work before it was daylight outside, and it was a long time before it was time to go to school. And so each day I had a few early morning hours I needed to spend somewhere. Now we were fortunate in that we got to live close by to my grandparents, Grandma and Granddaddy. That's what we called them. You could see their house. If you walked to the front living room of our home out the three-bay window, you could look just to the left about 100 yards away and see Grandma and Granddaddy's house. So it was not too far, even as a little kid. As Mom and Dad would prepare to leave for work, I would make my way over there to hang out, to have breakfast, wait for the bus. And I mean, it's grandparents' house. There's really not many rules, right? So we would hang out and wait for school. Now this ritual, it started pretty early in the morning, kind of earlier than when most people are out of bed. And so we came up with a signal. We came up with a signal to let me know that it was okay to come over, because, hey, you don't want to stumble into Grandma's house too early. You might see something you wish you hadn't. But we had a signal. Now, this was pre-cell phones, by the way. It's practically the Stone Age. But what Granddaddy came up with was way better than a text. You see, in those early morning wintertime hours when all was still dark and quiet, I could make my way into the living room and place my face against that three-bay window and look over and see Granddaddy's light on. Granddaddy had a porch light, a floodlight. And that was the signal. When I got to the window and the floodlight was on, that was the sign. It was okay to walk on over to the house and come right on in. Granddaddy was expecting me. And it was not only the sign that it was okay, it was the light on the path I needed to get there. Friends, that's the message of Christmas. The light has come. Won't you come on in? It might look like this. the light of the world. He's turned the light on for you today. He's shown you the way. He's expecting you. Won't you come? Won't you come? Would you stand with me, those who are able? The band's going to lead us in a moment of worship and a response song as we continue in the service this evening. And as they lead us, I want to extend an invitation to you this evening. It's really, it's kind of one of those preacher tricks. I'm extending two invitations in one. But it's two gifts. The first invitation is that if you're here this evening and you've never taken that step out of the darkness and into the light, I would just invite you to come. You can come, and we're going to allow these front row of chairs to kind of serve as our altar. You can stand and worship. You can behold the light of the world in the manger. But if that's you today, you can come. And of course, you don't have to go anywhere to pray. This is just an opportunity to take a step of faith, to say, I'm coming into the light. I'm coming home. As the band leads us today, if you want to make that decision today to step into the light, I'd invite you to come. And this next invitation is a little bit different. It's been one of the constant thoughts on my mind as I've prayed and planned this service over the last several weeks. I know for some of you, for some of us even, this year, this Christmas season has been a little tough. Some of you have experienced the loss of a loved one that was very dear to you. And this Christmas has been a tender reminder of their absence. It might even be your first Christmas without that loved one. And it's tough. Perhaps it's been a season marked by health challenges, or for you or for someone in your family. And if you were honest today, you're weary. You're weary. Maybe it's been challenges with relationships or work or the daily challenge of getting by. Whatever it is for you, I just sense there might be a heaviness tonight. A weariness. And friends, if you can relate to that or something close to it, I'd invite you to come forward. Step into the light. Pastor Terry and I are going to stay up here in the front. We would love to pray with you, to put an arm around your shoulder and join you. You know, the beautiful thing about the Christmas story is that when Jesus came, things weren't perfect. He came in the midst of our mess. But He is Emmanuel, God with us. And if all of the events of the first century didn't keep Him from coming, all of the events of 2024 aren't going to keep Him from coming. And so if you're here and would just like to pray as we worship, I would invite you to come. There's no pressure, just an invitation to come and know that we see you and to know that you are loved. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. Thanks for this opportunity to reflect on the story, to reflect on the power of light. Lord, your word says that you are light. There is no darkness in you. And so, Lord, as we step into relationship with you, we're stepping into the light. And Lord, as we reflect and remember light tonight in your presence, God, we remember that even when our days, our years have been hard, your presence is real. You are the light of the world. You are Emmanuel, God with us. So Lord, I pray for that heart that's had a hard year, reaching out to you. Would you meet us here? Would you meet us here? We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen and amen. Would you join us in worship if you'd like to pray? The invitation's open.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.